Hello and welcome to the Van Ryan Compliance Podcast, the show that secures the future of your business with a clear plan to reduce your risk. I'm your host, Rob.
And I'm Dawn. And today we're going to talk to Drew Ritter, owner and president of Advantage Telemessaging. Woohoo! We'll discuss the ins and outs of how he secured his answering service and how he's building a culture of compliance. Drew also loves Reese's, Teslas, and has some thoughts on social media that you don't want to miss out on. We will also be joined by our client success specialist, Alex Wheatley, to dive deeply into what Drew has done to secure the future of his business. Hey, Drew, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's true.
All right. Well, let's dive in.
We're off to a great stop.
Yes. Wait, we're rolling.
All right, Drew. Let's start off by discussing why data security and compliance are important to your answering service.
Well,
big question.
That's I thought you'd start off with a couple of softballs, but you decided to come right out with the hard stuff. So that's great. You know, even the president gets some softball questions at the start. So, thanks for taking the lead on that. Anyway, thank you guys, for having me. I think data security and compliance is important, not just in my answering service, but in our industry as a whole. There are so many moving parts to our business, and it seems to be getting more and more complex as time goes on. Back in the old days, when I first got into the business, which was like the late 1800s, answering before service. Phone. Well, it was before the internet. It was before, phones still had that like rotary and the horn. It was crazy, but they answered the phone, ahoy, ahoy, which is good, which is true. You can Google that. But when people get into the business, like answering service systems were really these proprietary self-contained things. They were made up of telephony cards and proprietary software. They weren't database driven. And it wasn't until maybe the early 2000s that there was a shift into more of a Microsoft environment, databases, SQL. And then, of course, as the internet gained in popularity, you could do more services through the internet, which, the moment you put something on the internet, security becomes a concern. And then, of course, as HIPAA regulations in our business, because we deal with medical, kind of grew over time, it added another component to that in terms of the type of encryption you need, whatever. So nowadays, there are a lot of moving parts, and with hacking on the rise and all that kind of stuff, the data security is important to maintain, kind of uptime, continuity of business, making sure that your client's information is properly secured. No one wakes up one day and says, boy, I really hope today's the day someone steals all that information. and the people that do, you probably shouldn't do business. Just tip from Uncle Drew. But, so you need to do that. And then, of course, you need to keep up with HIPAA. So, it's very important. And it adds another facet to the business that, if you don't have the data security, if you don't have the compliance piece, you're just opening yourself up to liability, both on a legal level and even on a financial level. So,
yep, definitely. And, we've talked about this before, Drew, is like, your clients expect you to protect that data. They are there, like they want you to protect it. And even it's funny, even though if they don't say it, they expect it. It's like when you go to Disney, you go to dinner, you go shopping, you expect that retailer to protect that credit card information. You don't think about it, but you expect that.
And it's not even that, but even, as technology gets more advanced, you have phones that do biometrics. So you might be storing your face print or your fingerprint on your device. Mm-hmm. And, the average consumer isn't necessarily thinking, you know, well, what's happening with that fingerprint? What's happening with that face print? And it's up to the Googles, the Samsungs, the Apples, you know, to really kind of, you know, provide that security. You just kind of, you know, as a basic consumer, you know, expect that like, oh, my stuff's going to be safe. My, you know, thumbprint's going to be fine, or, you know, I'm applying for a credit card online, my social security numbers, you know, it's a credit card company, it's a bank. Obviously it's encrypted. You know, it's my phone. Obviously this stuff is safe and secure and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'd be surprised probably how much of it isn't, or, you know, maybe there's some, maybe there's a piece on the consumer side that they're forgetting to do, which makes it the isn't part of it. You know, so it's like technology is great. It can help make our lives easier, but it also makes things more complex in the process.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, and we talk about that complexity. And since you've been around since before the 1800s, the company, right?
The late 1800s.
You were receiving calls before there was a call. Look at that.
Exactly.
So far ahead that we're all behind.
The styrofoam cup. Remember that?
Right. Exactly.
It was wood then, no styrofoam.
Oh,
you know, we were trailblazers, like literally on the trail to the West, you know, go West, young man. That's where the telephones are.
And,
and West was Lancaster, right? That's as far as you go.
And that's as far as really go. You know, maybe Hershey. I don't know if there's going to be enough time. Really,
is true. If you go past Hershey, that's a whole world. You know, it's like that's out of another time zone. And there's no other time zone besides the East time zone. I know this.
It's great when you're driving down a modern road and you look off to your right and you see an Amish or Mennonite family, like in a buggy with a horse pooping all over the road. Like, and you're just like, since the last stop sign, I traveled back in time.
Right.
Yep. And they have poop on your car. So,
yes. Well, I don't know if they can actually poop on the car, because let's face it, I think
it'll fling.
We can all agree it's rude. You have to worry about the fling potential. You actually have to, you know, calculate the risk in a very short period of time.
So we've got compliance risk and poop risk.
Exactly.
That's going in the show notes.
People. You know,
poop and compliance.
Right. And I think that was actually in our audit. It was, you know, fecal compliance.
More
professional.
You know, so that's, so I think rule of thumb, avoid at all costs. That's
exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Now, as we dive.
So sorry for what I'm doing to your podcast. I'm so sorry.
We're just having fun. We're just here to have fun.
This is a good time. And be real. Exactly.
Yep.
You know, one thing we've talked about is the answering services and industry has been reluctant to change. It's a slow machine. And, you know, I want to ask you, kind of, Drew, what are some of the issues that you see answering service industry struggle when it comes to security and compliance as a whole? What's the big challenges that we see in the industry today?
You know, I think your statement is a little off base in terms of wording. I don't think it's that the answering service industry is reluctant to get compliant. I think it's a situation where you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And, you know, you have, like I said, you know, when you used to buy platforms, and there are a ton of answering service platforms out there, Startel, Mtelco, you know, just to, you know, name a couple,
Telescan.
But
Telescan,
right? Mm-hmm. It's actually a division of Mtelco, I believe. Mm-hmm. They used to be these self-contained things. And while they weren't plug and play, like you place the order, you spent a ton of money on these systems. Mm-hmm. You would have an installer come in the side, hook it up to your, you know, copper phone lines, all that kind of stuff. They were self-contained. And then you were told, okay, you have to do this backup every Thursday. You have to do this, whatever. So they were like these, just like little units. And then you could have these, I don't want to say old timers, but we'll say legacy owners, mm-hmm, 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 that have upgraded their systems through the years. So now they're in a Microsoft environment. Now mm-hmm. they're connected to the internet. Now they're doing all these things. And I think it's just a situation you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. I remember a colleague of mine got, I don't want to say hacked. That's not the right word.
Maybe an incident.
They had an incident because they put their system on the internet without a firewall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was not that they did that maliciously or anything like that. They just, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So I think the challenge and the majority of answering services, like you have kind of like your corporate call centers, you know, the conglomerates, so to speak, but a lot of them are small business, mom and pa, you're not just the owner, but you're the programmer, you're the salesperson, you're the payroll specialist, you're the HR person. And now we need to throw, you know, compliance officer in that ring as well. And sometimes small business owner, it can be very overwhelming because it's the old, you know, in software development, you know, they used to say in software development, you know, in a project, there's speed, quality, and price. You as the customer, you can pick two of those. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you want it fast and you want quality, you can't have price. You know, price is going to go up. If you want price and you want fast, well, you can't have quality. And I think it's just one of those, you know, you get some owners that are pulled in a ton of different directions.
And
I think it's how they compartmentalize their day, you know, and unfortunately cybersecurity and compliance fall by the wayside because it's okay. I've got this employee that's giving me grief because they want to call out for tonight's shift. And I have this client who's all kinds of pissed off because we screwed up a call last night. And then it's like, oh, but you got to be HIPAA compliant. It's like, okay,
it's a lot.
I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that tomorrow. Tomorrow keeps, you know, we all know tomorrow's a day that never arrives, you know? So it just gets pushed back. So I think it's not that they're reluctant. I think there just needs to be more education in that. Yeah. And, you know, like for me, I'm a small business owner too, and I'm really lucky and blessed to have a really good operations management team behind me that we can, you know, kind of delegate tasks to, and everybody kind of, you know, sort of stays in their lane. But with some of these things, whether it's cybersecurity, you know, I am not a network specialist. I am not a HIPAA compliance specialist, but I keep up on these things and I know what needs to be done in our network. I know what needs to be done with compliance. I just don't have the time to sit, type out the policy, whatever. So that's where, you know, things like outsourcing some of these things, you know, you hire an IT company, you hire a compliance organization that can help you with the heavy lifting. And it's up to these other people to tell you what you don't know.
Are there any compliance companies you recommend?
You know, you know, most of them are crap. I'll be honest with
you. It's hard to find good ones.
They charge too much money. all they want to do is talk. And then they're, you know, then it's like laws, omnibus ruling, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's really difficult. Yep. I think Bob's Compliance is probably a good service.
Anybody named Bob I would trust Bob.
Exactly.
Bob the plumber, Bob the electrician,
Bob's discountcompliance.com.
Just Bob. And one thing, a lot of our listeners, you know, we have a mix, right? We do a lot of work in the TAS industry, but we do a lot of work in technology. We do a lot of work in cloud and global. Is people don't remember, or people don't know or realize that there's still someone on the other end of the phone at 2 a.m. You know, your industry, your business is 24/7. It's not a we're done at 9. So when our kiddos get sick at 2, or the dog gets sick, or there's a crisis hotline, right? We have clients that are in there. There better be somebody there to pick up the phone, and it's hard to prioritize that. Everything's a priority. Everything's top priority. And right. I know that's true.
And conversely to that, when everything's a priority, nothing's a priority.
Correct.
You know, and that, yep. And sometimes, you know, the trick in our business being a 24-hour business is that, you know, we try to stay a bunch of steps ahead of the game so that we can be proactive instead of reactive. But there are still things, no matter how organized you are, that you're going to end up being reactive to. Yeah. So, but like using my case, our use case for, you know, full disclosure, I'm a client of Van Rye. I hear people do that on podcasts, so I thought I'd sound like
it's a thing.
I know what I'm talking about. But you know, one of the reasons was not sounding salesy or even endorsing, not with that tone of voice, but like I recognized that there were areas of compliance that I needed help with. Yeah. That you know, you get spread too thin or whatever. So we had some dialogue. And, you know, we actually met a couple of times in person, including the time I stalked Dawn in the car without even realizing it.
Which
is a good story.
I had just ordered a Tesla and I got stuck in this loop where I was supposed to pick it up in a couple of weeks. And then Tesla did a hold and I didn't get it for like 2.5 months. And Rob and I were at the same conference. I was an attendee. He was a vendor. And I'm leaving the hotel with one of my staff. And what's parked right in front of the hotel
was
basically my car. Same color. Same color. I'm like, wow, these guys are great. But it was
Don's like, who is this guy?
Same color, same interior. So I walk up, I'm surprised you spoke to me, Don. But like I walked up and I'm like, roll the window down. And the window goes down. And she's just like, yeah, I'm here to pick up Rob. I'm like, first off, I have no idea who you're talking about. Number two, tell me everything about your car right now.
And I knew you were because I had briefly met you, or not really met you, but you were talking to Rob at the booth.
Right.
And I was like, I know. And the gentleman you were with, who I can't remember his name, but
Joe.
I was like, I knew who you all were. And so it was like, so I was just like, I'll just listen. But yeah, you know.
So now I'm like, I was like, roll down the window. I'm going to be the creepy guy. Tell me everything about your car. Get out. Let me test drive it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a kid in the back seat. He'll be fine. Like,
and it wasn't till, it's fine.
And it wasn't until like after the conference, Rob is like, you know, oh, so you got the same color car I did. And I was like, and I'm sitting there going like, well, how do you know that? And you're like, oh, you were the creepy guy that went up to my wife at the, like, and I was trying not to be creepy, but like after the fact, I was like, oh, that was probably really weird.
It's all good.
Don's like, who's that guy? So it's Drew. He goes, Drew.
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
That's why I signed up. I mean, our compliance is top notch, but well, I felt so
Alex
bad.
Let Alex dig deeper into all of this. So, Alex, what questions do you have for Drew?
Okay. So I'm Alex, and I am very privileged to be here.
blink twice if you're being held against your will.
Creepy.
Yeah. And, you know, we met and, you know, we kind of hit it off immediately. I don't know if it was the Tesla shirt that I was wearing that day. I don't know that I was wearing it that day, but nonetheless, I think it was the social media aspect, specifically YouTube.
Here we go.
specifically YouTube. And, I think we all bonded on that. And I think that's like really why whenever you're around, I'm like, Rob, make sure I'm on that call. Cause we just have a lot of fun. And I think that that's part of compliance. That's part of our compliance that we like to give is we like to make sure it's fun and we're not just talking about making sure that people are staying within the green lines. So, if you care to share, anything you feel.
I have some opinions about social media. So being 400 years old, I can tell you that there's a lot about social media that makes absolutely no sense to me. So my mom, like we all have those moments where we feel old, you know, and whether it's like you're listening to an oldie station and you hear your favorite song come on, you're like, you know, you're like, I listened to that in high school. That's not an oldie or something like that. Or where something you're really into is labeled as retro. You know, we all have those moments. My mom told me her moment came when she would go to the grocery store and see like People magazine and stuff like at the checkout line and not know who the celebrities were that were on the cover. She said that's when she knew she went past that old point. So I don't have a MyFace account. I don't care about Facebook. I don't like Tic Tacs. I don't like, okay, Alex, so you're what I'd refer to as a baby. So you're familiar with the Tic Tac and,
I'm probably like the only 20 something year old that isn't familiar with Tic Tac. Okay.
27. That's adorable. So
you have underwear older than that?
I'm on like, so I,
wow, this is going
a personal question, Rob.
Not on key. It's not a part of the script.
Leave it to Drew to send this off the rails. We got Improv Rob over there asking about my skivvies. So, but I was on YouTube, and this all started when I was actually like trying to learn about Teslas after I had ordered one. You know, and apparently, what you do is you order a Tesla, then you start a YouTube channel, and so. I am, I think, the only guy in the world who bought the car and didn't start a YouTube channel. But as I'm looking for these, like I keep looking at my phone as if it's going to tell me something. But like when I look at my phone, there's this strip of Tic Tac videos. And they all have like the same subject, but it's like this constant, like it's like this little, you know, how like you get the, you know, you like watch it. A stupid cat video and might also enjoy really racist video. So it's like, you know, because the algorithm makes no sense. And so there's a couple kinds of Tic Tac videos. So, and I understand none of them. So there's everybody does the same dance to a song, which makes no sense. So like it's 5 seconds long and it's everybody sitting there doing like, you know, this thing. Like, and then the video ends with them showing their butt and it's like,
and they're 12
and it's called a challenge. I don't know what the big challenge is, with subtract the butt thing. I just did it for you right now. Then the other video are people lip syncing to other audio. And it's like I used to do stand up like back in the day and like you never steal other people's jokes. So it's like, you know, you watch the video of someone lip syncing this audio and you're like, see, it was funny when Robin Williams said it, just kind of look pathetic because you're not even lip syncing that well. And then this is the one that I think I find the most confusing. Bear with me. We're going to get to the end of this road. I promise. So there's like, for the people listening on audio, you're not going to be able to see this, but like we have like this video kind of thing happening. So
I'm going to put the link in the show notes. So the YouTube.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Make sure
Right. Oh, I'm going to get to that in a second, Rob. I got some opinions about that right there. So, welcome to this episode of We Just Fired Up Drew. So there are people standing in the frame and the video, all of 12 seconds long, are them just pointing to words that come up on the screen. And there's usually like a little like Jeopardy theme, kind of like beboppy sort of thing in the background. And then they're like, boom. And the words come up like, I like cats. Boom. And I like the Beatles. And then they point to something, you know, else. And it's like a link to like one of their other social things. And I got to tell you, as someone who is 300 years old, that is the dumbest, most moronic thing I think I've ever seen. And so you go to their YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and every YouTube channel is a bro. Even if you're a female, you're still a bro because, okay. So here's my rule of YouTube. God, how much time do we have here? Okay.
Keep going.
So
you got it.
So here's Drew's YouTube rules. Rule number one, don't watch any video that starts with, hey guys.
This is gonna be the show notes. I got it.
If I hit play on a video and it starts with "Hey guys," I am closing my browser. I am deleting my history. I never want to see your face again because it's just like because usually the bros and women do this too. So I'm not saying that in like a sexy way. They all start out. Like, oh my God. Hey guys, what's up? Today we're going to be talking about Yeti Month. And it's like, I don't care. I really could care less. All I want is to watch my 30-second cat video without a 2-minute ad in front of it. That's all I want out of YouTube. That's all I want out of YouTube. And Facebook is just they're their own country. They're the devil. I don't even have a joke. You could just say and Facebook and just let it hang. Just let it go. I have no tolerance.
So you like YouTube, not much of the TikTok or the Facebook.
Instagram. We didn't go there.
Okay, so
that's part of Facebook, though. So we could
first of all, I've noticed. I know it's part of Facebook, which is why I'm not really on mm-hmm. it much. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the gram has the same username. They all have the same first name and it's Lincoln. And their last name is Bio, Lincoln Bio. Because no matter what they're doing, hi, here's a picture of my food. Do you want to know how to get this food? My name is Lincoln Bio. So, and then you have to go up to their bio and you click the link and it gives you this page and pretty much everything on there is, you know, here's my Amazon wish list. Here's my referral code for the food I just showed you the picture yep. of.
Click 5 times here's, on the referral code.
Here's my yep. backup Instagram account. Here's my Twitter. Here's my YouTube. And by the way, if you want to see my boobs, here's my OnlyFans. And it's like, which is weird because I've seen guys with the same exact thing. And all I'm really, again, I just want to see the funny cat pictures. That's what the internet was invented for.
Yeah. So we're going to share the podcast link on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. So,
I'm done.
So my
I've
question to you
out.
Is how I've the heck out. are you going to listen to the podcast?
And like,
I am sure. Oh my God. And that's how they
you
all
go directly
end
to
on
Apple.
YouTube. On YouTube, it's always smash that like button, hit that subscribe thing, click the bell. It's like, I just want to watch the cat video. I like you produced content for me and now I feel like you're asking me to do work. Like I'm not that emotionally invested in your cat video that I don't want to. And then it's gotten me so sour that when I hit a YouTube video that doesn't start with an ad, that doesn't start with "Hey guys," mm-hmm. and doesn't tell me to like, smash, or whatever, I'm like, I've hit the mother load. This is whatever. And then the content's just kind of like
so,
whatever.
So what's great, Drew, is it sounds like that you don't really spend any time on social because you don't like it. I think that's the sum up. So how do you spend your time And or do you just spend all your time on compliance and talk to us and as we guide you through your compliance every month?
So I'm going to listen to your podcast because I'm sure you're going to have a link on your website, which for everybody is vanryancompliance.com.
Cool. Thanks for the plug.
So yeah. I will listen to it there. But if I have to register for it, then I'm never going to hear
won't.
It. I really want to develop, I think my next business venture is to develop the antisocial network. So what it is, it's going to start out as a blog post. And the blog post is going to take you to my YouTube channel, which is going to take you to like all these other things. But there's somewhere along there, you're going to have to click something. You're not going to have to smash anything. This isn't the Hulk-like video. You know, it's not like that. It's you're going to click a button and it's going to make you go dark across all your networks.
Oh.
So that's where I'm going. As far as how I like crying to spend Alex. My time.
Sorry, you know, if you can't see on the video.
I'm thinking of the book too that you said you were going to write. Do you remember that? We talked about it once.
I remember it. Sometimes my mind works really fast.
It was like social media, and then it was going to have one page.
Oh yeah. You know, like you're going to open it up, and it's just going to say sucks. Like
the end.
The end. And I won't be doing book signings at your local Barnes & Noble. So, yeah, it's like send me a dollar, I'll send you my book, and then it'll spiral from there. What was your question?
Wow, like what you do in your spare time other than running Advantage Telemessaging?
That's all I do. Why do you think I look like this? Because I spend all my time running Advantage Telemessaging. I'm a big Disney nut. I like to go to Disney World because even though I'm 300 years old, sometimes, you know, you just gotta hug Mickey Mouse and mm-hmm. I will push a kid out of the way to get my picture taken with Mickey Mouse.
Wow. Do you have the Mickey Mouse on your car window? Do you have the little Mickey Mouse? The little
I don't because I got into my Tesla. I finally received it. So Rob and I have been talking mm-hmm. a lot about mm-hmm. that and I've been mm-hmm. learning. It's kind of funny. Like I like their mentality. I think I was telling Rob about this and I think you thought it was pretty an interesting way to look at it. So yeah. I am not a car guy. I could care less about cars. Like you have those people that like you're standing on the street, car drives by and they're like, oh, that's the 64 Plymouth blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, how the hell do you know that? And they're like, oh, because of the way the back window tapers down and the chrome.
Your brother gone.
You know, and it's like, I don't care that much about it. That's why I've been driving the Honda Dadmobile like for the past 12 years. So I could care less about cars, but I love gadgets. Mm-hmm. I can go to Best Buy and just, you know, like kid in the candy store kind of thing. Not even that, like, I'm going to go in there and buy anything. I just like looking at the tech. And what Tesla did was they turned my vehicle into a gadget.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and so that's the part of it that I find really exciting. So I like looking at all the features and you know, kind of learning how the car behaves. And, you know, as far as a car, it gets me to and from work, right? But it's just kind of neat. Or like if I'm planning a longer road trip, I'm like thinking like, oh, am I going to need a supercharger? Am I going to have to do this? So the car is kind of turned into a hobby, but not like in an 80s Motorhead kind of way. Mm-hmm. It's just
makes you think forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of, which is kind of neat. So I've been enjoying that. I used to be, I still am a pilot, but I haven't flown in a very long time. So, I also play guitar. I love backgammon and people that aren't afraid to cry. I like long walks on the beach. I like, actually I hate the beach. So that's
the sand.
It's dirty. It gets everywhere. Like it's really an evil invention. I think it should be removed. So
wow.
Concrete.
We're going dark now.
Yeah, but I love travel and I like, My business, it's not just like my work, but I am emotionally invested in it, mm-hmm. not just, you know, for the livelihood of like me, my staff, my family, like all that kind of stuff. But it's like, I find the industry so intriguing and fascinating and, you know, that I really like keeping up on things. And, you know, so it's not just my business, but like to a certain extent, it's also a hobby because I like to really try to keep up on things.
Mm-hmm. And that's
what do you do for fun? No, I'm sorry. Oh.
I was going to say that's a really good segue into, I was going to ask you how or why you got started doing what you're doing.
Because I have no other talents whatsoever.
You have stand up. You did stand up.
Yeah.
I did, but I see, but it was past tense. I did stand up. don't do it anymore because I'm not that funny. I got into
it. You are.
Well, I need to make more than you laugh. So, because otherwise it doesn't pay. I got into the business. My mom and I worked for another answering service in our area that was really, you know, for the answering services in our region, because answering services used to be very regional kind of entities. Mm-hmm. It was like sort of the Cadillac of answering services at that time. And I worked for them on and off. I was at a point in my life I was trying to find myself. Still haven't found myself, but I started looking, which is a good part.
I think. Good start.
And good that start. Business was subsequently sold. And part of the agreement was that the local office that my mom worked at would remain operational. It was sold to someone out of state. And so my mom went to work one day and the doors were all padlocked and everybody's stuff was in the back alley.
Oh, man.
And there was a sign on the door that said something like, your services are no longer required, or like something really cold and stupid. And being, you know, a good Jewish mother, that really pissed her off. And so, you know, she's at a point, probably early 50s, I think, at this stage, and, you know, unemployed, you know, what are you going to do? And so she started collecting unemployment, and then this weird, bizarre thing happened, and it's really kind of romantic when you think about it, but like, I was living with her at the time because I made lots of poor decisions in my life. And like the doorbell rang and it was one of the former clients who had tracked her down. Mm. And, you know, my mom's phone number was unlisted. Mm. Address was unlisted. So it's like, it took some sleuthing to find out. And he was basically saying this new answering service sucks and there's no other viable options out there. You need to start your own. And if you need money, I'll be happy to invest. And then next thing you know, a little bit later, someone else came by with a similar story and said, I also have office space you can use. And I think one of the neurosurgeons also reached out to her and said, like whatever you need, let me know and I will help you make this happen. So my mom reached out to one of the other managers there and they met with a business planner and they put a business plan together, went to a bank, got a loan. We opened with, I think, one or two workstations and a little self-contained Startel system. And I worked for her from day one. I used to have a picture in the office. I think I took it down because made me feel bad. Because it was very, like, very 90s clothing. It's just I couldn't pull it off then or now. And I worked for her from day one. And back then you wore many hats, you know. Mm-hmm. I was programming, customer service, answering the phones, working first shift, second shift, third shift, whatever. But when she opened, she had like 100 clients that were ready to come on board. And she had a staff of everybody else whose crap was left in the alley. So she opened up, and then my mom's business partner passed away in the early 2000s. I want to say like 2002, 2003. And it was at that point I took more of, I guess, an executive role in the company, even though the word executive is used rather loosely. And when my mom got retirement in her eyes, the next logical step was to purchase the business from her. So we did that in 2008. So it's it's been my company since 2008. And since that time, we went from maybe 125 clients, mostly regionally, to almost 1,000 spread across the United States and Canada. You know, pick a metric, number of employees. I think when I bought the company, we had 5 employees. Now we have over 30. I think we have over 30. I don't know. That could change by the end of the day. Who knows? The great part about it is you can look back to when, like, okay, we didn't have any money. We didn't have staff. We didn't have good equipment. We didn't have this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, we look at where we've positioned ourselves and like a lot of the legacy employees that are still with us, you know, we look back at it and we're like, okay, we may not know all the steps we're going to take to get to that next level, but we definitely know the steps we need to take to make sure we're never in those positions again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we kept doing was reinvesting in the business, you know, equipment, like staff, wages, like benefits, things like that, compliance. And I think, you know, even getting back to the compliance piece, you know, it's not that we weren't compliant. Yeah. And Rob and I spoke about this like kind of in depth. Mm-hmm. It's not that we weren't compliant. It was just, we didn't have it written down. Like that was the piece of the whole process that was killing us was I knew what to do. My managers knew what to do. We tried to make our staff aware of what needed to be done. But where the benefit of you guys came in was you helped us write it down.
Yeah.
So what was your question?
That's a great story. That's the reason that you should focus on clients because legacy, that business that your mom built you're continuing to build. And this is a lot of what the TAS industry, it's generational mm-hmm. businesses. And certainly we want to help protect legacies and by helping with compliance where we can, whatever that means. You're a little bit short on policy procedures, training, and whatever piece you need at all, that type of thing. So what a great story.
Going through the compliance thing, not to sound like a commercial for Van Ryn Compliance or VanRynCompliance.com, it's you could click and schedule a 15-minute phone call.
Smash.
For free.
Yeah. For free.
In person, if you're local to New Braunfels, just saying.
If you're local to Waffles, what?
If you're local to New Braunfels, we come in person. Or Austin, Texas.
Okay,
we'll go in person.
I got excited because I thought waffles were going to be a part of this.
Oh, okay. Waffle anyway.
Now. Yeah, I was right. I was with International House of Waffles.
In Texas, we have Texas chicken waffles.
Yeah, but like the beautiful part about that process, because, you know, people like colleagues come up to me and they'll ask me, what do I need to do to be HIPAA compliant? I'm like, see, it's not a task. It's not like do this and you're HIPAA compliant. It's a process. It's mm-hmm. like a operational mindset. And it's really not that hard. You just almost need that person to sit there and say, well, this thing that you're doing, don't do that. Instead do this. And it's not just that light switch where it's like, I'm not compliant. I am compliant. What I really enjoyed was going through the process because as an owner, it made me think about certain areas. Mm-hmm. And what I learned from it at the end of the initial process was that I came off creepy to Dawn in San Antonio, but was that, you know, we were kind of better off than I sort of thought we were going to be, which made me, you know, as a business owner feel good. So like mm-hmm. for my colleagues that are on the fence about, you know, signing up with Van Ryn Compliance, VanRynCompliance.com, book your phone call today. Even if you came back and your initial audit score is like really low, it's not like anybody's disciplining you. It's you need to know what you don't know. Right. And for us, like I even went into it and said, this is what I know. And here's where we're going to get killed. And it kind of turned out at the end of that process, that's what the determination was. And then thanks to your counseling and all your hard work, we're sort of on that path. And it's even if we came back and our score was 100, it's 100 at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And you know, next month, next year, next whatever, it may not be 100. Or like if you're in clients in certain areas that have certain state specific laws, like I think Texas has one, I think New York has one, which I'm sure Rob will do another podcast on, then you really need to know because you have like state, federal, like whatever. So I would certainly recommend, the same way I would recommend someone outsource their payroll to a payroll company, I would certainly outsource VanRynCompliance.com to, you know, any of my colleagues, because it's a great process to go through.
Yep.
Okay. Was that enough to earn my $5?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Reese's,
because we know Reese's. That's your, yeah. Just don't send them through the mail.
No. It's over. They're in the mail. No, sorry. USPS. We shipped them before the Postal Service decided to pull back.
That's good. Well, I'll send you my check once I get them. So. But seriously, like any of my colleagues, I would say, you know, just the way you would outsource whatever, like know the areas that you need help in, you know, even as a business owner, it doesn't mean you're an expert in all areas of your business, which is why you have staff, team members, whatever. Cause there's the old saying, surround yourself with good people, right? But that's an incomplete sentence. You need to surround yourself with good people who are also good at their jobs.
Mm-hmm. And staff for your weaknesses.
Exactly. And, you know, so know the areas you need help and, you know, reach out, get that help. Book a 15-minute phone call. It's real easy. Get your customized compliance plan. And
we can put you on the road, Drew. Stand up.
The Drew Show. Yeah.
The Drew Show.
Yeah.
You have an RV and it's a Drew Show.
Oh, do I get my own like tour bus? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I'm okay with that. Do I have to drive it? Because if I have to drive it, there's going to be some problems.
And if it's not autonomous, Drew, he just doesn't know how to drive anymore.
Right.
I've totally, like, my car has made me stupid.
Yep.
Well, so. I think Drew, it's so fun always talking with you. I think that you've definitely given our listeners many things to think about, not just clients. But love your story. With you and your mom, it's a fantastic story. And just love the conversation and definitely love. Thank you for plugging us overly amount of time. And it's always great to talk with you. And you know, again, it's very good tips on, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, we are happy to have a conversation. That's why we do a risk review, just to see where you're at, what you don't know. I think it's fantastic. There, you all have a lot of data that you flowing there. So just appreciate you and just being a great customer and always questions and look forward to our continued partnership, definitely.
Yeah, it's definitely a great partnership, and it's it's like I said, it's a process, and I would really urge people out there, you know, and taking plugs out of it, like, you know, you find someone to help you.
Yeah.
My recommendation would be Van Ryn Compliance, VanRynCompliance.com. And
smash the
by the way, the website's also mobile friendly. I don't know if people but it's something, you know, you need to make sure you know, you have the right insurance, and all it takes is one thing to screw up your entire reputation.
Yeah.
Yep. And
so you need to protect your livelihood as a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, protect your reputation and make sure that when people put their trust in you with their data, with their phone calls, with, you know, whatever, that you're doing, you know, the best that you can to make sure mm-hmm. it's protected. Nothing's 100% perfect, mm-hmm. but, you know, as long as you make all reasonable efforts to make sure everything's protected, then, mm-hmm. then you're golden. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. And how can folks, you know, we always get, people love referrals, referrals, like who do you talk to? And the TAS industry is very tight knit. And mm-hmm. I know since you don't do any Twitter or Facebook or TikToks or TalkTics or anything, if listeners want to talk to you about how you've transformed to a culture of compliance, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, hey, that's a great question. They could certainly visit our website. Yeah, I think so, right here. it's my prop for those. For those listening, I am pointing to a phone. I'm not pointing to words of a phone. It's an actual phone. So they could visit us at advantagetelemessaging.com, which is the one thing I'm always kind of pissed off at my mom about, because that just makes for a very long URL. And ATM.com has been taken for years. So advantagetelemessaging.com, they can reach out to us, 610-372-5551, or toll free 855-372-5551. And to see if anyone's actually listening to this podcast, if someone mentions that they heard about our service through the Van Ryan podcast, we will waive all their setup fees and give them their first month free. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
Ooh, wow.
Excludes tax, title, license, and options.
Exactly. And a little bit of fine print in the show notes, but you've got to listen and you've got
to listen.
That is a great offer, folks. Thank
you. And this is going to be great because people have to listen to the end to get to the offer.
That's it. Love it. Well, thank you so much for offering that to the listeners. We're so excited to partner with you and walk alongside you as you transform to that wonderful culture of compliance you have at Advantage Telemessaging. And thank you so much for joining us today, Drew. This was awesome.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Yep. We should do this every week.
We should. We could. And of course, thank you, Alex, obviously, for all the hard work you do at Van Ryan, keeping Drew on the straight and narrow, and introducing yourself to our wonderful listeners.
Thanks for having me.
And you can learn more about Alex at Van Ryan.
About us and go down.
Yeah. I'm usually the girl in the chat box, respond to the emails and the phone calls. So
there you go.
Call anytime.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.